Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 32. This is where we left off last week. And I like this, the fact that we're answering Bible questions. Stacy and Pete are still in Chicago. They'll come back later this afternoon. And I say that to tell you, I think this is Stacy's question. And by the way, if you didn't submit a question, it might be a little bit of time before we get to it, but you can still, I don't know if the three, it used to be here, but the car, huh?
There are cards.
Okay, there's cards back there. On the table where you walk in, where the bulletins are, and if you get one, either lay it on my desk, hand it to me, or ask someone to put it on my desk. But I still got questions to answer. We got to this question last week, and I really gave the answer because I think it's not a hard question. If you in Genesis 23, Genesis 32, Jacob, we'll start in verse 34. I'll read the passage again. It says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him," so the man did not prevail against Jacob, "he touched the man, touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said," Jacob said, "let me go, for the day breaketh." And he, that's the man. Said to Jacob, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For with a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hath prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared. Well, to me, when he names the place Peniel, he'd realize who he's wrestling with all night. It was God. In fact, when he didn't prevail, like God didn't prevail against Jacob. He finally just crippled Jacob, so that Jacob would have to learn to depend on God rather than on his own strength. Because his brother's out to kill him, and that's what this is, why he's all by himself. He's distributed his wealth, he's distributed his family, thinking his brother's going to kill him. But when he changed his name from Jacob to Israel, Jacob means like conniver, and that's what he's been all his life. But now his name is Israel, and it means, the idea here, well, it says, "For a prince thou hast power with God." So it either has power with God or the idea of a prince. And the nation of Israel are going to rule with God as prince. Jesus Christ is going to rule, and Israel is going to be his kingdom people. And so the name Israel, I would say, means prince with God, rule with God. And so when he names the place Peniel, because he saw God face to face, Peniel actually means the face of God. And so usually when you find a name, you can find right after the name what the name means without having to go to a Bible dictionary. But anyhow, that's what it means. So the question that I was asked, is the angel who wrestled with Jacob actually Jesus Christ? And you wonder why they would even say the angel that wrestled with Jacob. Now, I'll show you why, because that's where we ended class last time. But it's real clear when you read the passage, he's wrestling with a man, and the man is a personification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he realizes that. That's why he says that. But see, the man not only blesses Jacob, he changes Jacob's name. And now come over to chapter 35. And in verse 9, it says, "And the Lord appeared unto Jacob again," and that's not necessarily again after he wrestled, but he's appeared to him before to extend to him the Abrahamic covenant. The covenant to Abraham went to Isaac, and from Isaac goes to Jacob. And so it says, "And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name, and he called his name Israel." So who changed his name? God or the man who wrestled with him? Well, see, to me, that's the same person who wrestled with him. He appeared again. God appears to him and goes over those issues. And it says, and God said unto him, I am Almighty God. So we know who's talking here. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave unto Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee, thee will I give the land. And God went from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and poured out oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of that place where God spake with him Bethel. That means house of God. And so, whenever you see El, like even Samuel, Daniel, it all that El is Elohim, God, and so Bethel is the house of God. So my point in reading that passage, it's so much like what you just read there that you realize another reference. The blessing has to be a blessing from God, and the name change is God changing his name, and not just a man. But the reference to an angel, come all the way to Hosea, which, since you're so familiar with Daniel, that's the book after Daniel. Chapter 12 of Hosea. And I told you last week, when you start answering Bible questions, you end up with more Bible questions. And this is not a question, it's something I had to look into a long time ago, because it comes up quite often in the Old Testament. But I'll point it out to you when I get there. God is, in verse 1, is declaring judgment on Ephraim. That's the northern tribes of Israel when they were divided. And then in verse 2, it says of Hosea chapter 12, and the Lord hath also a controversy with Judah. That's the southern two, Judah and Benjamin, the southern part of the kingdom, has a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to the doings will he recompense him. Both the northern and southern tribes eventually went into idolatry, and that's why Babylon conquered them. God's punishing them, chastening them. Verse 3, it says, and he took his, it's just a reference to Jacob. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. Now you can go back to Genesis and read that when Jacob and Esau were born, it's like Jacob, Esau was the oldest, and Jacob's trying to stop his brother from being born first, because he wanted to be the firstborn. Eventually, he takes the birthright of his brother away, makes his brother sell it to him. And so Esau sells his birthright to Jacob, because Jacob, he's that conniver. So it's going over those issues. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength, he had power with God. And that's, again, that's that name Israel. Yea, he hath power over the angel that prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. So he takes in verse 4, it's called the angel that wrestled. He hath power over the angel and prevailed. So Jacob prevailed over the angel, but here it's called the angel. That's why the question is that, was it an angel? Was it Jesus Christ? But think about what it's being said here. Now, the other thing is, sometimes in the Old Testament, when you read the angel of the Lord, that's a term for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not always. That's why it gets a little tricky. But many times it is. And the reason you know that is in John, when Jesus Christ comes, he's called the Word. An angel, when you read a book of Hebrews, they are messengers of God. They bring God's word. And Jesus Christ is that word. So he is the message of God. He is the word of God. And so sometimes Jesus Christ is called the angel. Not that he is an angel, he is God, but he comes as a man with a message, and he's the word of God. So in this case, the question is this an angel or is this the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, again, yea, he hath power. Oh, he hath power over the angel. Well, we realize he had power over God back in chapter 35 and in chapter 32 of Genesis, and prevailed. he wept and made supplication unto him. Well, who do you pray to, an angel? Or do you pray to God? And he found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Who spake with him in Bethel? Almighty God. We just read the verse. So this angel that's being talked about is God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you didn't get it yet, look at verse 5. Who's the one we're talking about? Even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is merciful. Or is his memorial. So anyhow, the person we've been talking about is the Lord God. So it does use the term angel, but it's really a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, as all the other passages were. And that's the, we started in the question, we didn't finish it last week. So anyhow, that was the question of who wrestled with Jacob. Now we got a double question on this one, and most of them are double questions. We'll answer both of them. The first one is, were the idols inhabited by demons? And you'll see why. We'll look at the verse of why the question comes up. But the question is, were idols inhabited by demons? And I started thinking about this in this sense, is that it's interesting that God, we know he spoke out of the burning bush. We know that God was able to use Balaam's ass to talk and give a warning to Balaam. So God can use different, can use a bush, he can use an animal, and certainly he speaks through people as prophets. And so God speaks that way. But idols, when you study them in the Bible, I couldn't come across a verse where they have the idol itself has any ability whatsoever. In fact, the Bible says the opposite. I want to show you two because they're kind of funny. Turn to Psalms 115. And when I say they're funny, don't forget, we just mentioned that the Gentiles worshipped idols. But eventually, Israel came, the northern 10 tribes first, started worshipping idols. And then the southern 2 tribes. Tribes eventually worshipped idols, and then because they did that, God, according to the law, judged them. But he reasons with them, and when he reasons with them, you read this about them in Psalms, we'll just read the first 8 verses, Psalms 115. It says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them." Now, they that make them are like unto them. Well, you know, they made an image like a four-footed beast, but also they made images of man. But when I read verse 8, if the idol is dumb, the man who made the idol, he's just like the idol. He's dumb. He has, there's no truth coming out of his mouth, but here they don't speak and no message comes out of their throat because they're just a piece of stone or silver or a piece of wood. They're just an idol. Now, Jeremiah condemns Israel for doing that. Now, David realizes that his God is in heaven. God, the true God of Israel is in heaven. The heathen should learn that. But come over to Jeremiah 10. Again, in verse 1. Woe unto... Well, I'm in Isaiah. Hold on. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word which the Lord has spoken. Hear the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. One cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with the axe. He decketh it with silver and with gold. By the way, this is a passage a lot of people use about not having a Christmas tree at Christmas time. And it is a custom of the heathen that we're not to learn, but we don't. If you have a tree, I doubt if you bow down and worship it like these people are going to do. In verse 4 again, they decketh it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree. They speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. The whole point is an idol is nothing but an idol. And that's what you learn over. Come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We had looked at this verse some Wednesdays ago, and it's probably where the question comes out of. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says in verse 20, I just get the point. It says, but I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice unto devils and not to God. And I would not that ye have fellowship with devils. So those idols do represent demonic beings, because if idolatry is the worship of something other than God, and you're not to worship anything other than God, an image of things in earth, things under the earth, or things in heaven. You're not to create an image and bow down and worship them. And the reason people are doing that is that it's satanically inspired. The devil is behind that, but the devil and the demons are not necessarily, the devils, are not necessarily in the idol. The idol doesn't speak. It's just that there is a satanic evil behind the worship of idols. In fact, if you go to chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 10, it says, that's not the one I want, I don't think. No, I don't want verse 10. Verse 2. If any man think that he hath not knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. So the idea that the idol is nothing, but there is a satanic policy behind it. But come over to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and watch this. So even the Corinthians, they used to worship idols. Now they know God, but they still want to go to the sacrifice and eat the meat and the foods that were offered in sacrifice to idols. And Paul's warning them about compromising their faith. But in chapter 12, it's going to deal with spiritual gifts. Notice it, how it begins. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now dumb there meaning the idols can't speak. You know, when God, he speaks, and we know his word. Well, how is it that these Gentiles worship these idols? Well, it's not because the idols spoke. They don't speak. But they were led to worship those idols. And then he says in verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The way the way God speaks today is through his word, and back here it was through the prophets. But how did the Gentiles start worshiping idols? Well, they were led astray. Some people speak for the idol. There's men saying, this idol is God, and he says this, and everyone goes, oh, okay. And they follow the idol. So the question is do the demons, are there demons in the idols? Do they inhabit the idols? No. But the idols just represent the satanic policy of evil and how God... In chapter 22 of 1 Kings, God is saying, who's going to go and tell Ahab to go to battle? God's going to predict his death. And so he's talking to the angels. And an angel says to God, he says, well, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of its prophets. And God says, that'll work, go. And Ahab asked the prophets of Baal, should I go? Will I have victory? Yes, yes. 400 men say, yes, yes, yes. How did 400 men all agree? There was a lying spirit in the mouth of all those men. And that's how Satan works. He works through, just like God works through us to give the truth out, Satan works through lost people to give the false message out. So the idols never speak for themselves. Men speak for the idols, and it's, they're done demonically. The men are demonically inspired, not the idol themselves. So that leads to the next question. And the next question is, are demons fallen angels, are demons and fallen angels the same? And that's an interesting one, because I know some people that make some differences between evil spirits and devils. And they've explained to me why they think they're different. I'll try to explain to you that in just a second. But first, come to Revelation chapter 12. And what I was about to say is, I've heard that. I've never tried to figure out if they're right or they're wrong. Well, this question, I did a preliminary study. I certainly could do more study on it. But I had to, because of this question, I had to figure out, are demons, are devils, the King James, the word, I forget if it's, it sounds like demon, dynamos or something like that, the Greek word. It's translated in our Bible, devils. It's translated in other translations as demons. So sometimes we would say demons, but the biblical word in our Bible is devils. And we're not talking about the devil, but this passage shows you their connection. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was her place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. Now who's the great dragon? That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the question, I think it used the term fallen angels. Are demons and fallen angels the same? Well, first of all, in this passage, there's not a biblical term, fallen angels. But that we know that Satan has deceived a third of the angels of heaven, at least by this time. And they're going to be kicked out of heaven. So in that sense, they're going to fall out of heaven. But at the same time, they've fallen spiritually in that they followed the devil in his lie against God. And Satan's goal was to be worshipped as God, and they followed him. So the Bible calls them the dragon's angels or Satan's angels. And we're talking about those spirit beings. And if they belong to the devil, they are devils. So the evil spirits are devils there. And the question is, are they different? Now, the reason that some would say they're different is way back in Genesis, and we're not going to look at that passage, but in Genesis 6, when the sons of God came down to the daughters of men and bore children, and there were giants in the earth in those days, the sons of God were the angels who left their first estate and came down to the daughters of men, took a wife of their choosing, and when they had children, they became a new species of being. They were giants. Goliath was one of those giants, and his brothers and a whole bunch of people that occupied the land of Canaan that God used Israel to destroy them. So we know that the angels that left their first estate, Jude told us, that they're put in prison. God actually took those angels, and they're bound in prison waiting for the day of judgment. But the children, those giants, the flood came, and in the first days, and killed those, and then there were some that came after, and Israel killed those. But when they killed the giant, they could kill the body, right? But what happened to those spirits? What happened to their soul? And some people say that's the evil spirits. That's the difference between devils and evil spirits in your Bible. The evil spirits are disembodied giants from Noah's day, and that the devils are the fallen angels, and not all fallen angels are chained, but the angels that are on Satan's side, they're the ones that the Bible calls demons or devils. And so the question we have to deal with, is that true? Now, we can't go back to Genesis because that's speculation. And it's taught, and it gets into a lot of areas, and I'm not even sure I know all the areas that it gets into, but it's an interesting question. But all we have to do is find out if demons and Satan's angels, or evil spirits, are they the same or not? And that was easy to solve. Come over with me to Matthew chapter 8. Oops, I'm at Mark. Matthew chapter 8. You know, people have to study their Bible, come up with questions like these. In verse 16, I'll read the context. This is, the Lord goes into Peter's house, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house and saw his wife's mother laid with a fever, sick of a fever, he touched her hand and lifted her up, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. Wait a minute. They came to him with devils, and he cast out spirits. So he's calling those spirits devils. In the context, they're the same. And when you read that in the book of Mark, Mark almost always calls them devils rather than evil spirits. Come over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Oops. And it says, verse 1, it came to pass that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. She was healed of evil spirits, and 7 devils come out of her. It's like it's using it interchangeably, that the evil spirits are the devils. And there's references where you could go and read it in, let's see, do I have that one marked? Get Matthew chapter 10 and get Mark chapter 3. Yeah, this is where it's at. Matthew chapter 10 and Mark chapter 3. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, and when he called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So the 12 are going to go out and preach for him, and they're going to have power against unclean spirits. Look at it in Mark. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. Now, which is it? They're going to cast out evil spirits, or they're going to cast out devils? Or is the list not complete in one of the two books? And you could argue that, I guess. But the point is what Mark says that the Lord said to the apostles. It uses the word devils rather than unclean spirits, as it does in the book of Matthew, which tells you they're the same. And that's, I got several of those here. We're getting near the end, so look at Mark chapter 5, the end of Sunday school. Mark chapter 5, and look at verse 12. It says, and all the devils, now this is where the Lord goes and he heals the man and the Gadarenes, the guy who was wild and naked and running around the tombs. And when he's casting out the demons out of him. So it says in verse 12, it says, "And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we might enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there was about 2,000 that were choked in the sea." Did you catch the difference in verse 12 and 13? Verse 12, "And the devils besought him," they're asking him to go in the swine, verse 13, "and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out." So the devils in verse 12 are the unclean spirits who go into the swine in verse 13. And even, like I say, you get more questions. Did the devils want to kill the swine? Or is, when you read in the Bible about angels, they're locked away in the sea. When God judged them in the days of Noah, it was with a flood of water. And then they end up locked away. When you read the book of Revelation, there's angels that are locked in the river Euphrates. So these unclean spirits, they run into the water. Well, they just wanted to indwell a flesh, but they run into the water. And was it because they're trying to go against Jesus Christ, or because Jesus Christ sent them down into the water and captivated them? Another question, but that one's for you. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for our class today, and we thank you for these kind of questions, because sometimes people ask questions we never thought about, and it gives us an opportunity to think more about these things and review them. And so we enjoy this time together. Pray for the hour to follow. In Christ's name, amen.